The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Highlights from yesterday's show as they kick off the fourth tour, hard to believe, the fourth tour of Celtic Throne. Yesterday is made extra special. The dance teacher that trains all of those dancers, he was in town. He trains them over the internet, online, Zoom, that kind of thing. He's from Birmingham in the UK, John Kerry, and we were just ecstatic to have him there with us yesterday and working with all of the performers this past week, or all of last week, I should say. So it was a nearly sold-out performance. Edmond, Oklahoma. We've got two more shows later this summer. I'll get to some of those dates here in just a moment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com. Just go to TrumpetDaily.com, or you can go to the Rumble channel, Trumpet Daily Rumble channel, and the live stream is also played over there. So either way, of course, our websites, you can get to the podcast after the fact as well, or have these downloaded to your device, or just listen to the audio on Spotify or something like that. So there's many, many ways that you can get to this show. So CelticThrone.com, that's the website, and it gives you the rundown of all of the cities that they're going to be performing in, mostly in the Northeast, but even a little bit lower than that. Nashville and Louisville comes to mind, Raleigh, North Carolina, but we've got quite a few shows. We're starting off in Ohio in a couple of weeks, and then from there into Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Virginia, We're going to be hitting all of these theaters in pretty big population centers. So get your tickets now while they're available. That's at CelticThrone.com. The ones coming up in May. May 18th is Dayton, Ohio, and May 22nd is Columbus, Ohio. And then May 25th is Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. Pretty exciting to get into D.C., the swamp, and to give them some hope. Give them some hope. New Jersey, May 31st, Millville, New Jersey. A couple of emails that came in. We were caught a little bit flat-footed yesterday with some of the interviews and things that we've done in previous seasons. We apologize for not having more of that available to you. The show just kind of sneaked up on us, and then there it was, and we didn't have everyone on board with interviewing some of the people that were really enthusiastic in their support. So we'll definitely resume with that in upcoming shows. But I did get a few emails in response to the show. It says, please tell the lead dancer to keep calm and swagger on. I love the confident dancing. Excellent show. Every community in the millennium needs a thriving music and performance program. We'll talk a little bit about the cities of the millennium or the world tomorrow here in just a moment. Another email says, I'm absolutely thrilled to see that the personal appearance campaigns are starting right back up, it says, and in conjunction with Celtic Throne, no less. I check this page often. I've been praying about this and hoping for such a development for a long time. I feel so excited for the people who will get this kind of an introduction to not only the warning message, but also such a tangible picture of what heeding it can lead to. It says, finally, to me, Celtic Throne is like seeing the kingdom on earth. We always say that it shows you what is possible with God's government and makes you want to bring more of it into your life. Celtic Throne is like a picture or like seeing the kingdom. I'll just draw your attention to this latest issue of The Trumpet. Well, first of all, let me just say that personal appearance campaign that this viewer speaks of, that's in Columbus, Ohio, and that's on May the 20th. Or maybe it's May 21st. It's on a Sunday. And then I think the next night they have the Celtic Throne performance on Monday evening, May 22nd. In any event, to be invited to the pack, the personal appearance campaign, you just have to be a Trumpet subscriber. And to subscribe to the Trumpet, you just have to call our operators. There's no cost, no obligation. You get 10 issues of The Trumpet every year. You do have to renew your subscription each year. But again, it comes with no cost or obligation. Just call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. But this issue has an article about cities of the future, and you have this center spread. Welcome to Ophiria, I guess is how you pronounce it. It's basically a city of tomorrow. And you get the whole design, and it's based on scriptures in the Bible, how cities are going to be set up and established in the wonderful world tomorrow. Herbert Armstrong, of course, had a book that went by that title, The Wonderful World Tomorrow. Just leading into this spread, it says here, Ophiria is a model town of the millennium, the wonderful world tomorrow. Upon the return of Jesus Christ to earth and the establishment of God's kingdom, the government of God will administer God's outflowing law of love. Quite unlike what you see in the world today, where people live by the law of get, the law of take, the law of every man for himself. I'll come to that a little bit later in this segment. But for now, set your mind on the future. Set your mind on the cities of tomorrow. Set your mind on the people of tomorrow. It says here, you'll see the fruits of God's system throughout our town. You'll see peace and productivity manifest in the people, activities, education, and the environment. And it goes through on the center spread and tells you about education in the world tomorrow, about environment, about community, about civil affairs, industry. It has, I'm sure, a theater that's right in the midst of everything where children and others will be performing arts, just like we've been doing for so long. We're coming up to the 25th anniversary of our performing arts season. or 25 years of inviting the very best that the human spirit has produced. Now, over two decades, we've invited them into the, we rented facilities to begin with. Some performed at our field house when that was finished in 2002, I believe it was, 2001. And then we've had the auditorium, Armstrong Auditorium, in operation since 2010. So for the past 13 years or so, we've been performing our own shows in the theater, the beautiful theater. And of course, we've invited many other performers to come along as well. I mentioned that this issue, that sin or spread, it's based on so many scriptures, like in Zechariah 3. We'll just read through a few of them. It says, Zechariah 8 and verse 3. It says, "Thus says the Eternal, I am returned unto Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, of course, is going to be the capital city of tomorrow, and that's going to be the model after which other cities that dot the surface of the earth, that's going to be the model. Jerusalem, the headquarters city that everyone looks at, it'll be obviously a little bit different with the Ezekiel temple there just dominating the landscape. But still, the smaller communities and the cities are going to be a lot smaller than they are today, for sure, and a lot more spread out, a lot more space, a lot more agriculture, a lot more of what a city should be like. Beauty, an uplifting, clean, wholesome, structured, organized environment where the people, right across the board, from top to bottom, are happy and obedient, where the families are intact, where fathers are leading the families, they're leading the home, they're leaders in society, they're not anything like what's taken away. Well, they're like what is taken away, I guess, if you look at Isaiah 3. Strong, they'll be strong men, leading men, eloquent speakers. That's all been taken away, as it says over there in Isaiah 3. It says here, "And dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth." A city of truth. And you look at the world of today. Let me just take you back two issues to the headline, fake. Fake. This was an image that was put together in something like 50, 55 seconds using artificial intelligence. And it looks very realistic. I mean, it looks like a city today. And yet it's fake, just like so many things in this world today. A city of truth, says, in the mountain of the Eternal of Hosts and the Holy Mountain, it says there. So God, again, is going to dwell right in the midst of Jerusalem, right in the midst of all the earth. He'll be right at the center, Jerusalem being designated the capital of the world. Jerusalem, the city that God has chosen, as it says in Zechariah 2. Verse 4 here in Zechariah 8 says, "Thus says the Eternal of Hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets," verse 5, "the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets." So obviously, some of the streets, there's not going to be automobiles. I mean, there will be cars and that sort of thing in the world tomorrow. But the city layout is just going to be so very different. You can imagine a courtyard or some kind of an area where children can play together. And there's no threats. There's no dangers. How many families would be happy to just turn their children loose in the cities of today? This is a description of the cities of tomorrow. But the cities of today, many people are fleeing them, because they're too dangerous. They're filled with crime. What a contrast you see between today's world and the world tomorrow. The wonderful world tomorrow. Maybe you guys could play that news report. This is something that happened in, I think, Fayetteville, North Carolina. This woman pulls up to a convenience store, and she's pregnant, and she gets shot by these young people just waiting to steal a car. Listen to this report from a Raleigh news station.
information for you tonight about a woman who was shot multiple times outside of a convenience store in Fayetteville. We now know that woman was pregnant and lost her unborn child.
25-year-old Brittany Rich says she had no idea the three men standing near the ice machine outside the Cumberland Food Mart were up to no good. That's her silver 2010 Dodge Avenger outside the store. Security camera video shows Rich leaving the store, and then the confrontation begins.
The guy said, give me that, and grab my keys. And that's when I thought he was playing, because he was young. I was like, what? And then I went at, like, to reach after him, and he shot me.
Rich says he was shot several times. It all happened so fast.
Seven times this woman was shot. And these thugs were out to steal a 13-year-old car, and they couldn't even get it started. They shot a woman, killed the unborn baby. The woman survived, miraculously. She survived to tell about it. Of course, the national media, they couldn't care about this story. Because, well, if the races were reversed, then they'd talk about it. Then it would be nonstop coverage. Wall-to-wall coverage. But this is the city of this present evil world, or one of them. There are your cities of today. It's happening all the time. If they're not shooting people up, they're shooting themselves up with drugs and then wandering the streets of San Francisco or Philadelphia like zombies. What a contrast when you look at the cities of tomorrow, when you consider the way the cities are going to be established and built. Like this, I keep saying it every month that we have a new issue of the Trumpet magazine. I always talk about how that there were a lot of weeks of production that went into this, and then it comes out, and it's like perfectly timed. It's just perfect. The city of Boston over the weekend sponsored, the city didn't, the Marriott did. But what are these people thinking? A SatanCon conference sold out. Yeah, that's right. Our cities have descended into a crime-ridden filth fest. I read Zechariah 8, where it talks about little boys and girls just playing in the streets of Jerusalem. And then you can look at other verses that talk about wild animals being tamed. It says in Isaiah 65 and verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Eternal. So even the wild animals, now tame, playing with the children, playing with little children. As I say, no looming threats or dangers just outside your front door. Nothing like that. And no locks on your door, if you can believe it. That's coming. That's coming to a place near you. There's going to be a lot of trouble, though, before God can set up and establish the cities of tomorrow. And you can read about the Great Tribulation. We have a scene in Celtic Throne about conflict. This has been the story of man. 6,000 years of war, 6,000 years of conflict, 6,000 years of living the way of Get. God, of course, cut off this society, human civilization, from the tree of life, which would have allowed man to partake of the Holy Spirit of God. Man was incomplete from the beginning. God was pleased with what he made in the human body and the makeup mentally, the human spirit. But he wasn't finished. He wasn't complete. In order to complete his creation, he needed to take of the tree of life, so that the Spirit of God would give him eternal life, spirit life, eventually, ultimately. Back to Zechariah 8. Notice verse 7. It says, thus says the Eternal of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, it says, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Here is Jerusalem, the city of peace, finally turning into the city that its very name means, a city of peace, a city of truth. Welcome to Ophiria, center spread, latest Trumpet magazine. Verse 10 in the Living Bible says, before the work began, there were no jobs, no wages, no security. If you left the city, there was no assurance you would ever return, for crime was rampant. See, just like you saw in that video, it's just random. I mean, shooting someone for a, not that it would be right for a brand new sports car, but for a 13-year-old car at a convenience store? The young people of today just hanging out, causing trouble, terrifying citizens. It's exactly what verse 10 says it would be. And there's many other verses, by the way, in the Bible describing the cities of today. Isaiah 1 and verse 7, I read through that, or at least referred to it a few times, even last week. Mystery of the Ages, it says, if no one ever had any other God before the true God, if all children were reared to honor, respect, and obey their parents, and all parents reared their children in God's ways, if no one ever allowed the spirit of murder to enter his heart, if there were no wars, no killing of humans by humans, if all marriages were kept happy and there were no transgressions of chastity before or after marriage, if all had so much concern for the good and welfare of others that no one would steal, and we could throw away all locks, keys, and safes, if everyone told the truth, everyone's word were good, everyone were honest, if no one ever coveted what was not rightfully his, but had so much outgoing concern for the welfare of others that he really believed it's more blessed to give than to receive, what a happy world we would have. In other words, if everyone was obeying the Ten Commandments, what a happy and joyous and peaceful world we would have. The Bible talks about the way of peace, and it says that man doesn't know the way. So man, it tells you about the state of human civilization and why we are where we are today. But it also, in that same verse, it also makes clear that there is a way. There is a way to peace, but man doesn't know it. Man has rejected it. Jesus Christ is coming back to enforce that way of life with the loving God family government. Verse 20, it says, thus says the Eternal of Hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. See, there's going to be many cities, just like the ones described, or the one described in the latest Trumpet magazine. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Eternal and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. What a blessing it will be to live in cities, the cities of tomorrow. Today, you have commentators like Jack Posobiec, or they're saying, you know, get out of the cities. He tweets that, seems like, every week. Get out of the cities. They're too dangerous. So where is this leading? When the cities collapse the way that they do in our society, when law and order is out the window, when the police departments are defunded, where the criminals are let out of prison by some DA that was backed by George Soros or whoever. We got an email recently as well. A quick hello, it says, and note to say thank you for actually showing people the real God and Bible and for actually having real family values, like in God's family, for showing the real news and telling the truth about Trump and Tucker, whatever. Wish you were on prime time. I wish more people could get to that truthful message. But he's praising the family of God, basically. They're living it today. Of course, it's a fight. It's a struggle against sin. But living it today so that we can be the teachers of it tomorrow. Verse 22 here in Zechariah 8, it says, yes, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Eternal of Hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Eternal. Thus says the Lord of Hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, you know, the spiritual Jews, the leaders of tomorrow, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Imagine a time when people will want to be with God. That time is coming. That time is just ahead of us. Those cities of tomorrow are soon to be built. God's family is preparing for this glorious future, a wonderful world of tomorrow. In the second segment, we'll look at the world of today and what a stunning contrast it is when you consider what you're seeing all around and you contrast it with what's described in this latest trumpet. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, I've given you a few emails in this segment from viewers, whether they're viewing Celtic Throne online or viewing this program or The Key of David or just a visitor to our website. You can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advance news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com.
Trumpet Daily.
SatanCon's second annual national conference is now underway. The Satanic Temple, which is based in Salem, dedicated the event to Boston Mayor Michelle Wu after the group wasn't allowed to deliver a satanic invocation at Boston City Hall. The sold-out weekend includes temple rituals, an author's panel, and a wedding chapel. We spoke to people taking part in that convention.
Everyone's been lovely. People have been lively and happy. They're happy to see each other. For a lot of our folks, they only know each other through online interactions. And for many, this is the first time they've actually got to meet each other, or it's the first time in years they've had a chance to see each other. So it's a very meaningful community building experience in that regard as well.
There she is ripping apart a Bible at SatanCon. We got to silence the voice of Tucker, keep in mind. But let's clear out the Marriott for the Satan worshipers. How about that? And it's a sellout. I guess 800 people in this convention hall. And what is the Marriott thinking? What about the city of Boston? This is the cradle of Americanism. This is where the American experiment, together with Philadelphia, it's where it started. And look at Boston and Philadelphia today. Some of the lowlights at SatanCon. Over the weekend, a three-day event. Deconstructing your religious upbringing. Look, we'll show you how to blot it out so that you can worship the devil. At this point, it's like the devil. I know the Bible says he's deceived the whole world. I know it says he comes as an angel of light. But here we are at the very last days, and it's as if the devil doesn't even have to be deceitful anymore. Just blatantly go out there and celebrate your 10-year anniversary of whatever this Satan worship group is. And let's invite people from all over the country and rip apart Bibles and de-baptize people. Reclaiming the trans body. You look through the guest speakers and the subjects. Reclaiming the trans body, a theistic strategies for self-determination and empowerment. These people, they love them some abortion as well. Child sacrifice, that's the way they view it. Notice how closely their ideology aligns with the godless, communist, radical left. It's the same thing. They have more in common. Joe Obama and his administration has more in common with these groups, these kinds of people, than they do with Donald Trump and his supporters. That's not even to say that that half the nation is righteous. Far from it. But you see just how far gone the entire nation is, that this sort of thing would be going on. Can you? This is what Tucker was getting at the other night at the Heritage Foundation speech that he gave, the one that maybe got him fired. He was talking about, hey, this isn't just a good partisan arguing with another partisan on the other side. That's the way it was when I was young, said Tucker. But now it's something so much worse. It's a fight against evil. It's a fight against what you just saw there. And here, one of the organizers of the meeting, he's there talking about how it's just bringing the community together. Yeah, Satan is a community organizer, for sure. It's bringing the community together. Guess what else they had to say? We're being persecuted. Our lives are being threatened by those bad people protesting outside. Yes, they're the victims. The Satan worshipers, they're the victims. This lecture from, I think, Saturday, Sins of the Flesh, Satanism, and Self-Pleasure. Then one last one, reimagining Lilith as an archetype for reproductive justice. These are some sick, sick people, and we're living in a sick world. We're living in an evil world. I heard an exchange on a segment on a talk radio show. The guy's name is Wayne Allen Root. He's not maybe the best known in the country. He's a contributor at Gateway Pundit from time to time, so I've seen his name up there with a few columns and such. But he was having a discussion. They were talking about Tucker's firing. This show is from last week. I'll try to pull clips for a later show or a later episode of this show. In any event, they're having this discussion. They're talking about Tucker's firing. The guest that he had on, he's got a podcast. I don't even know who he is, but the guest he had on was saying, well, some on the right are saying this is good for Tucker. He's, and I even said this is going to kind of free him from the leash that the Murdochs had him on if he goes the way of independence and gets on some independent platform and has control, full control. In any event, this guest on Root's show said that, I don't think this is a victory for Tucker or for the conservatives. I mean, this is a setback for conservatism. And then they got on the subject of, Tucker's not going to save us. And the guy even said Donald Trump. He feels like in many ways people are looking to Donald Trump as the savior. I mean, that's a point we've brought out on this show. But the guy maintains that the only solution to all of this that you're seeing is the return of Jesus Christ. I mean, I about fell out of my chair. Because how many Christians in today's world? Okay, forget about the Satan worshipers on the one hand, but how many Christians, traditional Christians, even believe in the return of Christ, the establishment of God's government on earth, and then rebuilding the earth and re-educating the population? He actually talked about the millennium. But just to speak of the return of Christ, he said everyone he talks to that looks at this, and again, this is one point Tucker made in his speech. This is why he recommended people start praying to God. But this guy said everyone he talks to says that we're in the end of days. And then Wayne Root, I don't think he's as religious as the guest he had on, but he was nodding in approval. Yes, these are the last days. And then the guest said, well, if we're in the last days, do people understand what the Bible says about the last days and what's going to happen just before the return of Christ to this earth? And here again, I just about fell out of my chair. He's dancing pretty close to some of the truth of the Bible. Read the Olivet prophecy. Read what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Read what's inspired in Revelation 6, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. This is what's coming before the return of Christ to this earth. Jesus said in the Olivet prophecy that God has to intervene for the elect's sake, the very elect, or else there'd be nobody left. We would totally destroy ourselves. That's in the Bible. That's red letters. So shouldn't we give to you the truth of the Bible? What a contrast. This world, the ways of this world. No wonder God says over and again, come out of it. Come out. Stay out. Keep the worldliness out of the church, out of your life, out of your marriage. But see, Mr. Armstrong, as far back as the 1960s, and God speaks out on the new morality, when the pendulum swing went from the old morality over to the new, you know, the old morality, oppression and ignorance, and then it swung over to the other extreme where anything goes, just like Freud taught us. Just free sex, that will be the panacea for everything, every ill in society. Just let everyone do what seems right in their own eyes. Well, how have we done with that one? Mr. Armstrong said, instead of standing against it, the theologians of the middle 20th century, the clergymen, they, instead of resisting the world and the pulls of the world, they joined the world. They invited the world into the church. All of the churches just kind of caved in to that immoral bulldozer that just swept right across Western society. And then here we are today having Satan worshiping events, inviting the public, celebrate, makes the news. Revelation 12:9, it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's the reality. That's the reality. And yet you see all the politicians, all the journalists, they're getting together in D.C. over the weekend at that White House correspondence dinner, just yucking it up, joking over this or over that. Play that short clip of what Biden said about how that this it symbolized his presidency.
I know a lot's changed in the press. I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of you. This is not your father's press from 20 years ago. No, I'm serious. And you all know it better than I do. But still, it is absolutely consequential and essential. After all, I believe in the First Amendment, not just because my good friend Jimmy Madison wrote it. In a lot of ways, this dinner sums up my first 2 years in office. I'll talk for 10 minutes, take zero questions, and cheerfully walk away.
Sums up his 2 years in office. Joking about the fact that he never takes questions, just walks away. I don't know if it's always cheerfully, or if you can even consider it a walk at times. But there are the people that cover him in the news. He's talking about how consequential they are, and boy, they agree with him on that. They believe they are consequential. They believe they're the most important people in society. And a lot of them believe we're living in a pretty good world as well. A lot of them would like to see him voted back in office. And by the sounds of it, just listen to the whole evening. I mean, he comes across as someone who seems pretty confident. He's destroying the country, running it into the ground, and he feels pretty good. Just like I suppose a lot of them did in 2020. Just stay in the basement. We'll work this out. Look, we got all the ballots harvesting. All that's going on. Everything's working out great. It's a swamp. And that swamp needs Celtic Throne. That swamp needs a vision of the kingdom. It needs to see how the cities of tomorrow, how the world of tomorrow is going to be so totally different from what they, so many of them, celebrate today. They love this world. That's the way human nature is. We just love it. I mean, even in the, we heard this recently in a lecture, even the example of Lot there in Genesis 19. In the New Testament, it talks about how the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah just vexed Lot's soul. It vexed him. He hated it. It was so filthy. It was so dangerous, that society. And yet what happens when God intervened and told Lot and his family, look, you got to get out. The angels had to pretty much drag Lot out of it. That's how easy it is, even for a righteous man, to begin to cozy up to filth. To begin to say, oh, well, transgender, I mean, whatever. Or, you know, okay, it's a Satan con 2023 in Boston. And yeah, Boston has that rich, illustrious history in Americanism. You just kind of get numb to it, don't you? It's all around. It's everywhere. It's exactly the way Satan wants it to be. He's deceived the whole world. The whole world. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, in whom the God of this world, there's a God of this world, and that would be Satan the devil. As I say, what a contrast. You can see that contrast even in the last two issues of the Trumpet magazine. Are Satan and the demons real? They're saluting the devil at SatanCon. Well, you can see why you need this vision of hope. You can see why God says, set your minds on the things above. Here it says, the God of this world. There's another world coming. Your Bible describes it in vivid detail. Prophecies in the Old Testament and New. Paul was telling the brethren in 1 Thessalonians, okay, this is what's going to happen when Jesus returns. He's going to come back just like he left in Acts 1 and went up and ascended into the heavens. He's coming back down to this earth. And he's going to establish a new world. As for this world, well, read. I'm getting into too much here, but it's Revelation 20. Talks about when the God of this world is going to be bound in chains, locked away for that 1,000-year millennium. I mean, if you've got a fairly prominent conservative inviting someone onto his show who's talking about the return of Christ, who's talking about how evil this world is and how the only hope, the only solution is Jesus Christ. And then, even if most reject that and believe in a rapture kind of theory where you just kind of are, you are disappeared out of the tribulation period and saved in the heavens, I guess, and then what? Who knows? That's not scriptural. But in any event, there's more and more people that might believe those kinds of things that at least in looking at this present evil world are saying, you know what, there has to be a devil. There has to be a demon army. How many people were talking like that 20, 30 years ago? I mean, in the normal discourse, not I'm not talking about religion or in a church somewhere, but just in the normal a conservative talk radio. And they're on there talking about the end of days. How many people have even talked about the end of days until recently? It's on people's minds. People are concerned. People are seeing the collapse of Western civilization. People are seeing the stunning demise of the United States of America. They need the Wonderful World Tomorrow book and the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. Call our operators today, request your free subscription, request The Wonderful World Tomorrow, Mystery of the Ages. I gave you a lengthy quote there. What a world. What a world. I'm not even sure I finished that, but let me see if I can find it. It says, in such a world, with all, well, it talks about what a wonderful and happy world it would be if people are keeping the commandments. Mr. Armstrong says, in such a world, with all loving and worshiping, with all loving and worshiping God with all their minds, hearts, and strength, with all having concern for the welfare of all others equal to concern for self, there would be no divorce, no broken homes or families, no juvenile delinquency, no crime, no jails or prisons, no police except for peaceful direction and supervision as a public service for all, no wars, no military establishments. What a wonderful world that is coming. Contrast it with the world today. What a stark contrast. John 8 and verse 44 says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth." I mean, Satan just loves seeing young people shoot up a pregnant woman and steal her 2010 Dodge. Satan just loves those violent, random acts of criminal behavior. Just loves it. How many more videos do we need to see on social media of people just randomly sucker punching people, of mobs just gang tackling one person? I mean, back in my day, if you had a dispute, you settled it one-on-one. You didn't just get help from your five friends. Not that that was right either. But what's happening today? Just pummeling one victim, kicking them, killing them in some cases. Who's the author of that? Who's the father of that? This is from the New York Post. It says, the murder rates in major U.S. cities have soared more than 10% in the past 2 years, with most homicides occurring in Democratic areas with soft-on-crime policies, in a study released by WalletHub Wednesday. This was from last week. So they have control, the radicals, the communists, and look at what's happening in their cities. They're just exploding. They're exploding in violence. Violence all around. So, like I say, when you look into the Bible and you see God saying, now, I really want you to come out of this, can you see why? They're not living the ways of God. That's not to say we don't interact with people outside the church. Of course we do. We have vendors coming in, on and off campus all the time. And we have really good relationships with construction people, with all kinds of people that help God's work. And God will give them favor if they help the work, even if they don't know anything about God's truth. You see examples of that in the Bible. And then you see examples of people that, you know, they didn't know much about the church. They started to come into contact with God's people, and it changed their lives. They thought they wanted to look into it more. Why are they different? What's so different and special about this campus or the one at Edstone? We're here. Jesus said, we're here to let our lights shine. And that's what you see. That's what you see when you go to a Celtic throne, for example. You see shining light. I mean, literally, at the very end, you see a shining light just gleaming into the future, setting our minds on the things of tomorrow. There's some conflict in the things of today. That's brought out in that performance, too. But there is hope. There is hope for this dying world. But God, in speaking to you today, living in these last days, he says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. That's Revelation 18 and verse 4. Come out of her. Don't engage in their sins, and otherwise you'll receive the plagues that come with it. That's what we're seeing today. We're being plagued by curses on top of curses all around. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, it says, wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Eternal, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Be separate from this world. Separate yourself from the evils of this world. Separate yourself from the entertainments of this world. Separate yourself, as I covered last week on the show, from the language even of this world. Just separate yourself from it. Shun that sort of vain babbling, useless, idle talk, vain and profane discourse. Just turn away from it. 1 John 2, verses 15 and 17. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, listen to this, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. The world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. This world is gasping for its last few breaths, and it will pass away at the return of Jesus Christ. When he comes back from heaven above to establish God's world, to establish the wonderful world of tomorrow. Mr. Armstrong and Mystery of the Ages, we have it here on the desk somewhere. Here it is. It's the last book that he wrote, Mystery of the Ages. Wrote this in 1980, tail end of 1984. He got the idea. He wrote it all through 1985. He distributed it in September of 1985, and then he dies in January of 1986. It's a book that summarizes God's purpose and plan, and it summarizes Herbert Armstrong's ministry pretty much as well. It tells you why God brought us into existence. What is his purpose and plan? It tells you about the future world that we're to set up and establish, God's family. But he said that what impelled him to write this was when he came to a deeper understanding of what happened there in Genesis 3, verses 22 through 24. After Adam and Eve had rejected the tree of life, they took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when God commanded them not to, and they disregarded the command of God. They disobeyed and rebelled against their maker. They were influenced by Satan the devil, the god of this world. And when they took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says at the end of Genesis 3 that God then cut them off from the tree of life, which represented the Spirit of God, which represented the mind of God, which would have given them, as Paul said to Timothy, the mind of power and of love and soundness. But when they rejected that, God said, okay, you and your offspring. In other words, the civilization that would spring from Adam and Eve, starting with their children and then their children's children, and then it grew into what we see today, the family of man. But all throughout, we've been cut off from the tree of life. We've been cut off from God's Spirit, from God's mind, from God's life. And that's why the world is the way it is. There have been a few exceptions along the way. God, to fulfill his purpose and plan, he saw fit to call certain ones out, as I just read to you, come out of this world. And after counsel, after faith and repentance, they received the Spirit of God, the mind of God. They became converted after baptism and the laying on of hands. You had the prophets of old, you have the apostles of the New Testament, and you have the brethren in those seven church eras down through the ages, from Jesus Christ on through to today. It's all described there in Revelation 2 and 3. And most people in those eras fell away from the truth. Satan sees them as a massive target. He wants to destroy the people of God. And every once in a while, he has some success in taking people out, because the world around them just chokes the life of God right out of their existence. And they turn from God. They walk away, maybe they walk away sorrowful, like the young rich man in Matthew 19. What do I need to do? Just follow me. Give up the ways of this world. Give up the riches of this world and just follow me, said Christ. Christ, the Son of God, said that to this man. And he went away sorrowful because he just couldn't give up this present evil world. What a contrast. When you contrast it with the coming world of God, well, you can see why we have to have vision, or else we will perish, as the proverb says. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget the email address, td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.